Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I am Buck here with my main man, Clay, and we are your fortress of rationality and sanity and lack of crazy in a world that seems like it just has doesn't make sense anymore, Clay. If we're going to start to lock down over this stuff, what's the point of it anymore?
I would just tell people out there, I know you saw this over the COVID insanity, and I saw it with my sports show. There is such a desperate demand for rational, reasoned, intelligent analysis of complex issues like COVID to talk to an audience like they are adults. The media it treats everyone like children who can't use their own brains. I mean, I would just tell you out there, and we appreciate everybody listening to this show. Increasingly, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, whatever social media platform it might be, Buck, we don't know that we'll be able to talk to you there. I think that more and more every day. You saw what happened to Dave Rubin last night. Twitter now says, oh, it was an error. But we know that we have the support of our bosses, that we have the biggest radio show in the country, and that come hell or high water, we are going to be able to talk to you from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to 12 on the West Coast every day and share the truth with you. And I don't know that we can say that on the social media platforms or on the internet.
Oh,
frankly,
there's no way, especially as I think this starts to become the looking back debate. If we get out of this, they're going to want to suppress how dishonest and stupid and wrong they were all along. So, yes, we try to provide here. Our quest every day is not only to, of course, entertain and just spend time with all of you across the country, but make sure we bring you the best information, the most honest information we possibly can. So we need that. We also need leadership right now in positions of power in the Republican Party, conservatives out there to mount up, to get serious and to get out there and make the case and to use the powers that they have to try to protect small businesses that, I mean, I can't even imagine what it would be like at this point to be a restaurant owner in Los Angeles or New York or to have a small business in any blue enclave that has just barely survived as a business for the last 16 or 17 months. And now you're being told, well, maybe even if it were a 2-week shutdown, even if it were a 4-week promise. Oh, and by the way, as we all know, Clay, they can't really promise anything anymore, can they? Because if you're just going to keep breaking promises to people about just this, just that, a little more, a little longer, at some point it's on us for being fooled if we believe it, right? I think we're pretty much there. But I just on the political leadership side, we have Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida. He's not the only one, but he's the largest red state, the one that actually gets the most attention. Here he is saying straight up what we've been saying. I mean, the governor probably hears the show sometimes, let's be honest. I mean, yeah, we can neither confirm nor deny, but here he is. Play.
I think it's very important that we say unequivocally no to lockdowns, no to school closures, no to restrictions, and no mandates. Floridians are free to choose, and all Americans should be free to choose how they govern their affairs, how they take care of themselves and our families, and they should not be consigned to live, regardless of which state in the union, consigned to live in a Faucian dystopia in which we're governed by the whims of bureaucratic authorities who care little for our freedom, little for our aspirations, and little for our happiness. No more. We can't let it happen going forward.
Faucian dystopia. Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
The Surgeon General, if you're just joining us, I know there's a lot of dumb things that are said, Buck. The Surgeon General of the United States, our top medical official in the Joe Biden administration, said that if you are a vaccinated parent, you need to be wearing a mask inside of your house to protect your children. That is his medical advice to the nation. That is so mind-blowingly beyond insane that I don't even know how anyone can be listening to these people anymore. That is madness, Buck Sexton.
Completely crazy. I mean, it's like treating your children as though they could be, you know, carrying the bubonic plague or something. I mean, it's just the level of fear and the irrationality based upon the actual risk here is something that you see this and you really worry. I mean, I worry about the future of the country just based on the fact that people could be so easily brainwashed and misled on this stuff, and that we move like this herd that's being constantly, you know, cattle prodded with the media and social media and the Biden administration and the virtue signaling and the fear and all this stuff, when really anybody who's paying attention at this point should just say, we're done. We're finished. Yeah. I mean, here is a congresswoman down in Florida also just saying that she won't comply with the Pelosi.
Quite frankly, we will not comply. You know, Nancy Pelosi has opted to rule as Speaker of the House more as a tyrant than a Speaker of the People's House. She truly believes this is her house, Pelosi's house. And you look at what they're doing. They aren't following science. They're following political science, because everything that they do is rooted in a political agenda. And you see what this mandate now is doing. It is forcing Capitol Police into a very uncomfortable position where they now are the mask police. That's not right.
I said this, mask defiance has to happen. And here's what I mean by that. I don't mean if someone tells you to do something that you refuse and you won't go into the business, or like you talked about, Buck, I don't mean that you refuse to pull up your mask and the airline has to pull you off and you can't fly the airplane. I don't mean that. I mean leadership, like we're hearing right there from Ron DeSantis and the congresswoman in Florida. They need to fight this battle at the very highest echelon for people like you and me, who are regular people out there in the community at large. And my wife was upset at me for doing this yesterday in the airport, but I'm going to pull my mask down and I'm going to leave it down until somebody tells me that I need to pull it back up.
I'm just going
to
tell you,
it's a small thing.
If Pelosi tries to throw you in solitary, Clay, I'm going to get Team Buck together, all listening across the country. We're going to bust you out of the joint. Don't worry. We're not going to leave a Clay behind.
I think that'd be great. I hope you can bring in like a helicopter. They had a great scene in Black Widow where, spoiler alert, they bust out the dad character, the Hopper character from Stranger Things. I'd probably be the best thing that could happen to the show, right? If people would be like, oh, I totally expect Clay Travis.
We would live stream the Clay rescue mission for his mask defiance. Yes. We get a lot of clicks on that one. And by the way, the Black Widow movie apparently now has led to Scarlett Johansson suing for $50 million. She made $20 million. She's suing for $50 million. I, you know, at some point, I just got to say, this stuff to me, it just feels like, how could anybody be worth the amounts of money that they're being paid to be in these movies where there's 100 other people who could do it? But that's a whole other conversation. I just want to say, Clay, on the defiance, if you want to get back into movies, we can in a little bit, because it's obviously going into a week.
Did you watch Black Widow, by the way?
I shouldn't even say this out. This is going to get me in trouble.
Are you anti-Marvel movies?
Producer Mark, I'm not that into the Marvel movies. I don't know what to say.
No.
I know. I try.
See, the boys, my boys are all in on the Marvel movies and the streaming shows and everything else. Plus, I feel so bad over like movie theaters being closed down. I want to go out to the movies and have that experience of taking my kids and sitting down with them. So we went and watched. I thought it was pretty entertaining. But I got to tell you, after all the streaming, the movie theater is not doing a very good job of competing right now.
Clay, I've got a screen in my home, and I live alone in a tiny apartment in New York City. I've got a screen that, I mean, it looks like something you would have had at a drive-thru in the 50s, okay? The thing is giant. I've got the sound bar below it that can, like, blow my poofy hair back. It's crazy. And I don't have to deal with any nonsense. I can order whatever food I want because I'm in New York City.
That's right.
And, you know, it's really tough to deal with, you know, you get a movie, all of a sudden people seem to think that it's okay to take their phones out at movies and text people and do all these distracting. They think it's okay to talk at movies. And I'm the get off my lawn guy who wants to pour buckets of popcorn on people who talk during movies. So I'm just, it's probably for the best. We don't need to create an incident where right-wing radio host, you know, gets into a popcorn fight with some loud peeps. So, yeah, there we go.
It is funny. I was thinking, like, my wife was, you know, over the mask thing. She was like, why do you have to do this? Like, why? Like, there are certain people that really are afraid of being singled out and told to do something, right? Like, yeah, and so you remember going back to school, like the kid who doesn't want to draw attention to his or herself at all.
I mean, let's be honest. Mrs. Travis was a straight A student too. Let's just put that out there.
Way smarter than me, but she's also way more afraid of somebody saying like, hey, you know, pull your mask up, whatever else. I like, whatever. Somebody tells me to pull my mask up, I'll comply, right? I'm not going to get kicked out of the airport. I'm not going to get kicked off the airplane. But also simultaneously, I'm going to make them tell me to do this. I'm not going to voluntarily be a sheep.
And I think that maybe a phrase to remember as we go forward here for everybody is to normalize normalcy. That's yes. what we're doing. You normalize normalcy by walking around, letting people see each other's faces. And I'll tell you, even in the earliest days of the pandemic, there was another unmasked bandit in my building. There were two of us. I mean, I was the most, you know, the most probably aggressive about the non-mask thing, but I saw this every time I saw him in the elevator. It was like high fives and
yes,
glad I'm not alone. You know,
it's like when two guys who drive Jeeps pass each other on the road, like the Jeep guy affiliation. Like I'm talking, not talking about like, you know, fake Jeep. I'm talking about like the real Jeep that bounces around, the Jeep Wrangler. There's an affinity there. There's an affinity among the anti-mask community, too.
Absolutely the case. We're going to come in and hear from all of you, 800-282-2882. We're also going to get joined by our friend, fellow radio host Jesse Kelly in the third hour. He just thinks that the commies are showing you who they are with all this stuff. He does not pull any punches on this, so that'll be coming up in the third hour of the show. We'll jump into that. But DeSantis is pushing for pushback. There's also some talk on immigration and infrastructure we'll get to, maybe even voting rights if we got time. But you know what you should have time for? Preserving all of the most amazing memories that you and your family have. Legacy Box is a super simple mail-in service to have all of your videotapes, camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures digitally preserved on a thumb drive, DVD, or up in the cloud. Here's what my family did. We took a Legacy Box, and we have old photos, old VHS tapes of things like school plays, sporting events from when my brothers and I were young and actually played on teams, family reunions, birthday parties. And you can put it all into a digital format. And Clay, that means not only is it protected forever, you have it, but you can share it and see it and enjoy it. You don't need to carry around a VHS player.
Yeah, look, we had old family slides. My dad still has his slide projector where he will put on old pictures there. We had old family films, all the different things that we have managed to bring and make sure that we've got stored digitally for generations to come. And you can do the same. You can future-proof your memories today so you can gather the family and begin the trip down memory lane for years and years to come. All you need to do is go to legacybox.com/clay to get an incredible 50% off your first order. Buy today. Take advantage of this exclusive offer. End that awful feeling in the back of your mind where you think, what would happen if these great family memories weren't preserved once and for all? Send in when you're ready and go to legacybox.com/clay and save 50% while supplies last. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. We are rolling through Free for All Friday, Open Line Friday. Hope all of you are having a good start to your weekends. I am out in Las Vegas. As I said earlier, I literally arrived 2 hours before their new mask mandate last week. I arrived just in time for LA's mask mandate. And next week, I'm going to be with Buck Sexton and the crew in New York City, just in time for New York City's mask mandate. I am being stalked by, maybe I'm the mask super spreader after all.
I think we got there, a triple mask, Clay, just so we really show everybody how it's safe. Done. Triple mask, just to be safe.
One of the great things about the Biden White House, honestly, so far, has been Peter Ducey just absolutely letting them have it over all of the ridiculous and illogical and inconsistent positions they have taken. This was, I believe, yesterday. Enjoy.
In May, you made it sound like vaccine was the ticket to losing the mask forever.
And that is true at the time, because I thought there were people who weren't going to understand that getting vaccinated made a gigantic difference. And what happened was, a new variant came along, they didn't get vaccinated, it was spread more rapidly, and more people were getting sick. That's the difference.
I love it when Biden turns into the grouchy old guy who's yelling at the kids for letting the puppy, like, run through his petunias. You know what I mean? When all of a sudden he's, he just starts like, look, dude, we all know what's going on here. You said get vaccinated, you're done, you're safe, you're good, and now you're saying something else. You can get all huffy about it, but it doesn't change the obvious reality that maybe it wasn't an intentional bait and switch. I think it kind of was, but here we are.
This is something that's never going to leave, right? Because when you make such a blanket statement, which the White House made, I believe, on May the 13th, the lesson basically they had was simple. The bargain was clear. You get vaccinated, you never have to wear a mask again. That was what Joe Biden told Americans. And the Delta variant already existed by then. It's not as if this was a new phenomenon. And now he's walking all that back and saying that he's investigating whether the federal government can mandate vaccines. I mean, which is an incredible overreach relative to where we are from the risk and the data.
So we're much safer. We're much better protected. The numbers are way down and they get more aggressive with the authoritarianism.
It's a great way of putting it.
That's what's actually happening in this country right now. We'll come back into this. We'll hear from all of you too. 800 Open Line Friday, folks. Light them up. 800-282-2882. If we've learned anything since 2020, it's that there's nothing quite as powerful as a powerful immune system when it comes to keeping you healthy. Over 20 years ago, naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black of Texas invented Texas Superfood. I've known Dr. Black for years. I've been taking Texas Superfood. It's amazing. 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables, plus probiotic and digestive enzymes, so you can build your body's defense from the inside out. Texas Superfood boosts your immune system better than anything on the market. You know how your grandma or your mom or whoever told you to eat your fruits and veggies, but with busy schedules and fast food, a lot of people don't? That's why Texas Superfood is the safety net for the American diet. If you can't, won't, or don't eat all your fruits and veggies every day, Texas Superfood was made for you. Start boosting your immune system for under $2 a day. Go to TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55.
I think the CDC has been politicized in this case, I think from pressure from the administration. Again, because I think the Democrats love to instill fear in the hearts of Americans. And I think Americans are really sick of this. They're over it. They're not going to comply. And you shouldn't comply with any more lockdowns, with any more mandates. None of it. Here in the House, they're trying to fine us and jail us if we're not wearing a mask. These people are crazy.
These people are crazy, Dan Crenshaw says. This is Buck. I'm here on the Clay and Buck Show, and we are trying to just get our bearings here in a world that feels like, well, at least in an America that feels like a big chunk of the country really needs to get a grip. That's an easy way of putting it. We wanted to take calls, 800-282-2882 on the lines here. Gil in Orlando, you got some thoughts for us. Welcome, Gil.
Hey, thanks, Buck and Clay. Appreciate it. Hey, listen, is Florida as free as people really think it is? I went to work yesterday, and immediately the managers were waiting at the door to tell everybody to put masks on. I work for the city of Orlando, which is in Orange County. The Orange County mayor, Mayor Denning, you know him, husband of Valerie. He's trying to mandate vaccinations for all Orange County workers. He's trying to legally fight what DeSantis is doing. We like what DeSantis is doing, but the problem is we got so many people in authority fighting him.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Look, every state on some level, even red states, have blue cities, and there often has been a conflict between the authority of a governor and the authority of a mayor, let's say, of a blue city. But I think the message that is being sent by governors is wildly important because, for instance, Ron DeSantis kept every kid in school last year in Florida, and he's going to have every kid in school this year in Florida. So, look, I always say don't let perfect be the enemy of good, right? Everyone should fight as hard as they possibly can while understanding that there are all different sorts of political dynamics at play. And by the way, they can be at play in reverse situations, right? Some blue states can have red mayors or red parts of those states. I always like to say that because it blows people's mind. You know, more people voted for Donald Trump in California than in Texas. And now California is a bigger state, and that's what that reflects. But very often we paint with a broad brush when we say, oh, that's a red state or, oh, that's a blue state. The reality is there's 40% of a state, no matter who that is. And a lot of you listening to me know exactly what you're talking about because you feel like you're behind enemy lines. But there's 40% Republicans in New York. You know, there's 40% Republicans in California. So even though the majorities are big blue metropolises, it doesn't mean that there's not an element and opportunity. For instance, in Orange County, if you're outside of L.A., they were one of the leading opponents of mask mandates from Governor Newsom. And that's where a lot of the juice for the recall has come from. And so you got to fight no matter where you live, even if the people around you, you may not win every battle.
We got a million Republicans here in New York City, give or take, and they don't all live in Staten Island. So, you know, there's some other Republicans running around, which is other places, I mean, which is nice. I mean, I'm probably among a very tiny speck on the charts in Midtown Manhattan where I live. But Clay, I had mentioned before the CDC data. Remember this coming out today?
Yes.
And I just thought that we should put this into perspective for everybody because all this stuff, the internal memo from the CDC that says the war has changed, the war against the virus has changed. This is what they are basing this on. This is reported in Politico today. This was a cluster of coronavirus cases in Cape Cod, which is the little part of the kind of the toe of the boot of Massachusetts. It's a summer retreat place. People go there to the beach. There was a coronavirus cluster there right after the 4th of July holiday. 74% of the 469 cases that the CDC investigated occurred in fully vaccinated individuals. Genome sequencing of samples from 119 of 133 individuals in the study showed they had contracted the Delta variant. So this is Delta variant that people are getting there. The vast majority of the vaccinated people in the cluster, about 79%, developed some COVID-19 symptoms. No one died. Five people were hospitalized. Only one of the hospitalized was vaccinated. So, okay, Delta variant can, in some cases, spread to people who have been vaccinated. But even if you were one of the 74% of 469 cases, Clay, your chance of dying was zero. Your chance of going to the hospital was, let's say, you know, 1% maybe, which is sort of similar to what it is with COVID in general.
That's the thing. That's the thing. I mean, again, this the one advantage from COVID that I have said from the get-go is we are very fortunate that COVID is focused primarily on the elderly. Because if we had a different virus, and let's pretend that instead of primarily impacting the elderly, COVID had primarily impacted the young, I would have been terrified in a way you cannot imagine, as every other parent would be out there. We have known that COVID deaths are stratified by age and obesity, physical health condition, since March of last year. And yet we've continued to treat everyone as if they are at an equal risk of this virus. And that's why, to your point, Buck, we played earlier Mayor de Blasio in New York. His point, which is one that's been reflected all over the country, is the group of an age perspective that is the least likely to get the vaccine is young people, because young people understand that as a group, they are not at risk from COVID. And I know everybody wants to blame Trump voters, which is one of the great inaccuracies here. If you want to do it by race or ethnicity, the group that is the least likely to be vaccinated black and Hispanic, as you pointed out, looking at the data in New York. Yet everybody wants to say, oh, it's all these stupid Trump voters. They're the ones that won't let us get back to normalcy. No. They are prevalent in red states because we have both Trump voters and large minority populations, which is why the red states often, like where I live, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Florida, whatever SEC states you want to reference, the reason why the rates here are low is because of the combo between Trump voters and black voters.
Fascinating, too. You can find this on a very right-wing source known as CDC.gov, that they believe the Spanish influenza pandemic of 1918 infected about one-third of the world's population. Now, I understand that's the world's population. It's an estimate. But you look at where we are in this country right now, and we're at based on the same kind of estimate, about 100 million infections is what they think.
Which is probably low.
That's about what they think has happened here.
Yes.
And I just think it's fascinating that for all of our, all the modern medicine, all the testing, all the test and trace, which I said from the beginning was going to be, I mean, that was so transparently idiotic. They're like, it works for STDs. I had to sit there and be like, guys, got to have a little birds and the bees talk here. Walking past someone in the hallway is a little different from how you contract syphilis. But they look at this. You look at the numbers and you say, how can we think that mitigation strategies on the whole that have cost so much in terms of the economy, mental health, and deaths from overdoses and alcoholism, all these things, child abuse that's happened, undiagnosed cancer. I mean, about a third of the U.S. probably got infected back in 1918. About a third of the U.S. looks like it's probably getting infected with this strain, maybe more like half, I think, is what the final number will be. How can anyone think that mitigation, all this, put your feet here, put the mask there, do all this stuff? Yeah, vaccine, herd immunity, that's how these things end, clearly. But the fact that we're even still talking about masks and social distancing like this was not flatly idiotic is crazy to me.
Virus gonna virus, Buck. No matter what we did, we think we're so much smarter. We ended up about the same place. We're just fortunate that COVID is far less dangerous in terms of its health impact than influenza was in 1918-19. Speaking of health, Deborah Ann in Massachusetts says, I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain's gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I'm feeling. Thank you. I know for sure Relief Factor has helped my wife. She was talking about it on the airplane on our flight out here to Las Vegas. A lot of her friends reaching out saying they've also signed up and they are getting better workouts now, and they're helping to alleviate that post-workout pain. And Buck, you know, Relief Factor, 100% drug-free. It goes after joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, shoulder pain, all of it. Doctors and scientists, great research. They will help you reduce your pain and inflammation, associated aging, exercise, everyday living. Relief Factor goes right to the source of inflammation. And as a result, I got to tell you, it makes sense going forward. Hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, and about 70% of them go on to order more. Join the more than 500,000 and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to get the $19.95 3-week quick start. Develop for you, relieffactor.com, or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor, feel the difference.
Thanks for being here with us on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck. Clay and I are going to get to your calls here in just a moment. We're just working through this moment of Democrat Biden administration Fauciite dystopia panic that is so apparent in this moment. It's not rooted in a realistic reading of the data or the risks that are out there. Ron DeSantis of Florida saying he's going to block mask mandates in schools. So we'll dive into all of that. And there was one question I had for Clay before we get to the calls. Since we brought up the Marvel thing, and I want to get some angry tweets from people that actually thinks The Avengers is a good series and not just a lot of CGI and nonsense. Yeah, that's right. What is the best superhero movie of all time, Clay Travis?
I think it's a trilogy. I think it's the Christopher Nolan Batman. Right, like all three of those, and I would say the best one is the, and I may get the title wrong, but the Heath Ledger Joker
Dark Knight.
Is, I think, yeah, the Dark Knight. I think it's the best superhero movie that's ever been made. What about you?
See, I don't want to be boring and just repeat what you said. So I would probably say Batman Begins is actually my favorite of all of them. So the
but
first
you agree that Christopher
in
Nolan
that trilogy. Yes, even though the third movie has so much ridiculousness and silly things going on, like the police are living in the sewer for months, there's a nuke flying, the whole thing is doesn't make any, they run at them, they don't actually shoot them, the whole thing is crazy, but I still love it. But I would actually, I would put the first Iron Man movie, you gotta give credit to,
it's pretty fantastically well done. And I would say this too, Guardians of the Galaxy. Have you watched any of the Guardians of the Galaxy
movies? I'm a Chris Pratt fan. Like, I would, you know, I would actually get excited about having Chris Pratt on this radio show at some point. And I don't even like actors as a general rule, but he seems like a cool dude.
Yeah, it's really, I think, that the humor in that is fantastically well done. So in terms of sheer enjoyment, I think Guardians of the Galaxy is tough to beat. My kid, loves the Spider-Man movie. So I've watched every Spider-Man movie known to man like 1,000 times, so he loves those.
And I would throw a random one of them. But first, the original Superman movies were great for what they were. The Christopher Reeve superhero movie, Superman movies. I think those were pretty good. I gotta say, I think the Batman with Michael Keaton, the first one as Batman, it's actually pretty cool. That's the Tim Burton. It holds up pretty well. And there's one from the 90s that my brothers are gonna make fun of me right now if they hear this. I always thought that Blade with Wesley Snipes was, after Major League, Wesley Snipes' finest hour.
Blade is really underrated.
It's underrated.
And it kind of upset me because when the Black Panther movie came out, it was like nobody remembered the Blade movies at all.
I think Blade is a better movie than Black Panther. If we're comparing African American lead in a Marvel movie, I think Blade's a better movie.
That's how, by the way, we have expanded racism to such an extent. After I went and watched Black Panther, I was like, you know, I thought Black Panther was an average Marvel superhero movie. And people are like, it's so racist of you to not think that Black Panther was the greatest movie superhero ever made. And I was like, well, actually, you know, I think that Blade was way better in terms of sheer entertainment. Wesley Snipes was awesome in that movie.
Absolutely
Demolition
fantastic.
Man, by the way, Wesley Snipes also pretty
when
incredible.
when there's President Schwarzenegger in that movie, and we all laughed. Little did we know it was going to be Governor Schwarzenegger years later and President Trump. Who would have thought at the time? Jim in North Carolina, join us. Jim, what's on your mind?
Hey guys, on the subject of masks, here's a question I started asking back in March of last year when this whole fiasco kind of started. And that is, if masks are so effective, how come before COVID, when I walked into a hospital or a healthcare facility, masks weren't required? Like, if they're really that effective, like, shouldn't they have been a compulsory item that everybody would have to wear as soon as you walked into a hospital or a healthcare facility? That's the inconsistency I really don't understand. Maybe I'm a dummy. Maybe you can help me
out. Well, Jim, there's a great study that our friend Alex Berenson shared out maybe probably almost exactly a year ago, or, you know, give or take a month or two. And it was, I think it was Canadian dentistry, stuff up in Canada for dentists and hygienists. And they, cause you know, they have the mask when they do the procedures, and they tried to do a macro level study of the reduction in flu infections during flu seasons for staff. Long story short, guess what? Mask wearing versus no mask wearing. No difference in this study. It was published, the CDC actually had it up on the website. No difference between the mask and unmasked.
Well, they're afraid. And this is something that I think maybe whenever COVID madness ends, which God knows when it's going to be now. But this is one of the things that has happened with science. People who work in science now are so afraid of challenging the conventional wisdom that there aren't even mask studies being done right now, right? Because there's so much fear. It's the antithesis of everything that science should represent. Scientists should be rigorously and aggressively challenging whatever accepted norms are. That's what the scientific method is, and follow the data and the science, which is what we do on this show. We're not scientists, but we can look at the data and interpret it. And instead, everybody is so afraid of getting in front of the mask mafia and saying, all of you are sheep. There's no evidence here. It's going to take years until we actually get the effective data. But what we've got, Buck, that gives us pretty good idea, we've got federalism in this country. And you can look at the states that aggressively implemented mask mandates and the ones that did not, and there's virtually no difference in the overall outcome. In fact, some of the states that didn't had way better outcomes.
One of the great things about getting a little older and wiser in life, Clay, is I've realized not only do you need to accept that people are going to get mad at you for the wrong reasons and they're not going to like you sometimes. If that's not happening with some frequency, especially if you're in the public eye taking positions on things, you're not trying hard enough. You know what I mean? So
you're not being honest.
Some of us are used to taking the heat, and the heat in the early days on the masks in particular, for there was a very small crew of us. You, me, Berenson obviously is the guy who's more than anyone else been pushing this out there in the public. But our friend Jesse Kelly was also among those who would not cave to the madness. He's going to join us here to just talk about whatever's at the top of Jesse's mind. He's syndicated radio host, 6 to 9 for Premier Networks across the country. He'll be with us in just a few minutes.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.